For those who I haven't seen since beginning of the year, Happy New Year to you. Glad you're having a blessed one, you see here today. And this being the first Sunday of the new year, I'm going to tell you, y'all not going to be sitting down too long because God hadn't given me that much. But I don't know what else he has to do, what he wants to do, but I'm just going to give you what I have. You know, when I was, I was a sophomore in school, I was in the science and math club, and I love science and I love math. And we used to have these science and math fairs. So they wanted to, when after the fair, and I was in the most in the science because I always liked to demonstrate stuff and seeing stuff, smoke and all that kind of stuff. But when it came back, it came to a time that I was going into the end of my sophomore year, and then it's different now. We had to sign up for different things. Not sign up for different things, but the counselors and the teachers think that you should move on to something a little bit higher. And they wanted me to start algebra and trigonometry. Yeah, I like science. I mean, like math. Math is easy. Man, it's just a... But trigonometry was something altogether different. You know, and it was difficult. I made it through it, but it was difficult. You know, sometimes life feeds us like trigonometry at times. It just gets so complicated, and this world is changing, and everything is happening, and I get stuff on my, from the Democratic Party, I get on my phone right often, and everything that's going on with Medicaid and Medicare and Social Security is next, and it's just getting complicated, and nothing seems to add up. But if you will start with the foundational truth of that God is sovereign and that he arranges things to accomplish his goals, then you have laid the foundation through which to view, understand, and accept the complexities of life that comes your way. And we are starting a brand new year, but God wants us to do something. You know, and with the complications of things, and we have to learn all the foundational things that God has already made available for us, and know that he is sovereign. Let me tell you, the name of the title of the message is, God is Still in Control. What you and I look at as random events are actually orchestrated events in the purposes and the plans of God. Nothing just happens. I don't care whether it's bad or good. Nothing just happens. I don't care who is in charge of the government. I don't know care who your boss is. When something strange, nothing happens to a child of God that's just random. God has a purpose behind it. Let me put it another way. This mysterious thing called the providence of God means that God is sitting behind like a steering wheel, the wheel of driving the wheel of history. Sometimes he's on the main highway during a bright and sunny day. Other times he is driving down the back alleys in a fearful and dark environment. And sometimes it looks like he is going the wrong way, on a wrong way street. But all the time he is steering the wheel of life to arrive at his intended destination. That is his intended destination for us. God is still in control because God is sovereign. He is never caught by surprise, and he never says, oops, I missed another one. What shocks you was long ago already known. It was already known by him. He is not shocked at all. Rather, he knew it would happen. And he has arranged situations and events to bring about his greater good. And that greater good is for each and every one of us. In God's providence, connecting all of things in your life, he either has caused all things or allowed them to happen. That is not to confuse. Now, God is not endorsing sin. God hates sin and cannot sin himself. But even though he goes not he does not endorse sin. He will use the sin that comes from humanity or from other humans, often prompted by Satan and his minions, to accomplish his purposes. For example, the Bible talks and tells us about God, you know, how God hardens Pharaoh's heart so that Pharaoh would chase the Jews out of Israel. It took the evil that was present in Pharaoh's heart, and God used it as a catalyst to set his people free, teaching the Israel an essential lesson, one of many lessons he taught them, but one on how to trust him as they were led by him to eventually go into the promised land. God took a bad situation that somebody meant for the Jews bad, worse, and God used that to harden God and turn out to be for the good for the Israelites. God cooperated with existence within Pharaoh in order to fulfill his purposes of delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt. So he is so powerful and so good that he can literally turn what other people meant to do you harm or hurt you and use it to take you to a greater place of freedom and life he intended for you. God will never let your pain go to waste. That's one thing he was sharing, just stuck by me. I don't care what you're going through. As a child of God, God will never let your suffering and your pain go to waste. It will only go to waste when you choose to embrace unforgiveness, bitterness, and doubt, rather than forgiveness, love, and trust. Always remember this: God will never let your pain go to waste. But it is easy to be tempted not to forgive when things seem so confusing. Understand, God doesn't always make sense. In fact, he rarely makes sense to our finite minds. But in Romans 11:33, it says, "O the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways." You can't go to the search bar on your computer or tablet. You can't go to that and type in God's ways and get a map with the answer. And what's this other thing you can't go to? This Siri, you call him? You can't go call Siri and tell him, go look up God's ways for me. And Siri going to tell you the maps of God's answers and his directions. No, you can't go to Bing, God's providence, and pull out all the intricate details of how he does what he does and what he is planning to do, both in and through you. You can't go to these things for that. His ways are beyond finding out. So don't be surprised when God doesn't make sense, because he is not supposed to. His thoughts or his depths are higher than our own. In Isaiah 55:8-9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, nor your ways my ways, declares the Lord." And verse 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." He is the great unfigureoutable God. That's in the dictionary of Pastor Rick. All the while tweaking, twisting, moving, arranging, and allowing the things that happen to you and in you to take you where he ultimately wants to take you, where he wants you to go. This is the first Sunday of a new year. Now, last Sunday, y'all had the privilege and the opportunity of being encouraged from all three of us, those you were here. And I hope it benefited you a lot. Last Sunday, we ended, that was last year, it was the last Sunday of the month, we ended being encouraged. This first Sunday of the new year, getting rid of stuff that will hinder God from moving us from the place that we are now to the place where he wants to take us. Now, this is something that's probably a little bit different. I don't know where he's going with this, but that's all I have in word right now. But one thing he says, God will not let your pain and your discomfort go and be in vain. And one thing that sticks out more than anything that we have problem as a people, as a race, whether we're Christians or not, our problem is with forgiveness. We have a lot of unforgiveness. God says, I am here. This is going to be a better year. It's going to be a brighter year. It's going to be a blessed year. Only if you let the heart be forgiving of others. I don't know what happened. Somebody in here needs to be have a heart and knows that your life will get better starting today if you let go that unforgiveness. It is a thing that God says, if you can't forgive others, I can't forgive you of your trespasses. So that is one thing that God wants, and that's what he's going to work out right now. I said, Lord, now, you show me, and this has been going through my mind for about 3 or 4 nights I've been up. He said, now, you have to show me. He said, well, you said, now, tell him this. A lot of people said, even last week, weeks before, we said, they can tell you that, yes, I have unforgiveness. That's a sin, and I gave it up. Unforgiveness, I don't have it anymore. But he says, that's only words. But he says, I want their heart to change. In order for unforgiveness to truly be with God, and so he can take you to the place he wants you, he wants this thing that's unforgiveness that's in your heart, because, you know, we can say a lot. We can look like a wolf in sheep's clothing. We say a lot of stuff. You notice the expressions of Jesus throughout his ministries, and he always kept almost the same emotion, whether people were coming at him. The only time that he changed is when he sent his disciples out, and they came back with a favorable report. The Bible said he chuckled. I can say he had a smile on his face. And the only other time that I can remember that he probably had a vision of disgust is when he threw those people out of the sanctuary, out of the chapel, disrupting the Father's house. He said, we as humans, we are so far from God, so far from Jesus as far as speaking our heart, being true to what we really want to happen as we enter this year into a brand new year. He says, I'm ready to not let your pain and your discomfort go in vain. But he says, unforgiveness got to go. Okay, Lord, how are we going to do this? He says, first of all, ask the question, who has unforgiveness? Who has unforgiveness in the heart? So I'm asking, who has unforgiveness in your heart? Don't have to raise your hand. I don't want to see it. I don't really need to know. You know, it's between you and God. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, place that unforgiveness in your heart. Whatever it is, place it on your heart right now, if you have it. God says, have faith, believe, and trust him. I am thanking myself. Do I have any unforgiveness of anything? Or if you have doubt, if you have forgiveness in your heart, you shouldn't have doubt. Unforgiveness, you have doubt about it, you still have unforgiveness in your heart. And when you have that thing on your heart, just say, I got it. If you have it, just say, I have it. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Just say, I have it. If you have it. You have it? I mean, it sounds silly, stupid, but my ways are so far from God's ways. If you have it, say I have it, and do like my sister, just shake your head. What I'm going to do? And God says he will take it away. He will give you the strength